Welcome back to another episode of Uncle Takes. We're your hosts, Monica and Tank, and today we're talking about Why Him. It came out in 2016. It's a comedy slash romance, starring James Franco as our lead. He plays Laird, and Zoe Deutsch plays Stephanie. Bryan Cranston, Megan Mullally, Griffin Gluck, Keegan-Michael Key, and then some well-known people, but they don't play a huge role in the movie. Zach Perlman, who is Aaron from Keegan-Michael Key and Peele's Mr. Garvey sketch. He plays Dingle. Adam Devine is in here briefly, along with Casey Wilson. And I guess Cedric the Entertainer is in the movie for a few different scenes. He's you know, around.
Yeah, is he one of the employees?
Yeah, he's the coworker, I guess, you know, right-hand man of Ned. The summary of this movie is that Stephanie, a humble Midwesterner, invites her family to spend Christmas in California with her tech mogul boyfriend, Laird Mayhew, who is not quite the partner that Steph's parents envisioned for her. Despite Laird's numerous attempts to connect with his future in-laws, they are too prudish and needlessly difficult, and the holidays don't quite go as planned. Stephanie comes from a family who's, you know, Ned, Bryan Cranston, he owns a paper company, and, you know, Megan Mullally, just like, you know, typical. Can she play any character other than, like, the crazy either aunt or, like, because in Bob's Burgers, she voices Linda's sister, and I just feel like that's character and everything.
Is that her thing? She plays Vaughn's ex-wife in Parks and Rec, too. And she plays the Penny's mother, actually with Casey Wilson, right, in Happy Endings.
Yeah, maybe it's just her voice.
I think she's like the wacky lady is like her thing.
Yeah. Did she start out in Will and Grace?
Yeah, isn't that her? I'm going to feel stupid if it's not her.
Like that's her.
Isn't she Karen from Will and Grace? Yeah. Yeah, it's her.
Yeah, okay. So she's just been typecast ever since then, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, this movie, takes place over Christmas, so I guess it qualifies as a Christmas movie. And, you know, the premise is that, Stephanie invites her family out to spend Christmas with her in Stanford, is where she goes to college. And then she pivots, right? So, like, aside from the fact that her family just blindly says, yes, we'll abandon all our traditions, where are they from? Chicago?
Like, maybe Michigan?
Michigan sounds right. Okay, so they're in Michigan, and they're like, yes, we'll take the three of us, and we'll come visit you at your dorm in Stanford, and that's where we're going to spend Christmas this year, instead of just, like, you coming back to Michigan to hang out with all your family in our house. So we're just going to pile in your dorm room and maybe even rent a hotel. But I guess she successfully duped them because they're not actually staying at a hotel or her dorm. They're going to stay with Laird, and he has an estate, you know, it's a mansion that's filled with a whole bunch of people, that work for him because he's a tech mogul and he owns a video game company.
Yeah. So, they know Laird, or they know of Laird from Bryan Cranston's having like a retirement party
I think it's just a 55th birthday party.
His birthday party. Okay. And they like, FaceTime with her. And Laird, like, walks in the background, and I think he strips down, right?
Yeah, and he's just exclaiming Netflix show titles because he's like, Netflix and chill! Let's Netflix and chill! Yeah. I mean, we haven't explained Laird's character, but he's unorthodox. Everyone else is kind of just a normal person, maybe with the exception of Gustav.
He's played by James Franco. he's really just like the least appealing character in the world. Like, that's the thing about this movie. Like,
he's just nothing but a good
time. This is another. So this is funny because we just did No Hard Feelings, right?
Yeah.
Which is another movie you described as a comedy romance, which I think the genres don't fit that movie either, because that's not really a romance. This is neither a comedy nor a romance, I think.
Wow.
This also has a character named Layard, which I didn't think was a popular name, but I've heard it twice in 10 minutes at this point, which is weird. And then it's also a movie where I feel like at some point you're supposed to find, like, you're supposed to reach a point where you're like, oh, both these characters are making good points. But instead I come around to the idea of, like, I hate both these characters, you know?
Wait, like, you hate Bryan Cranston and James Franco?
Oh, yeah, they suck. That's the problem with this movie, is both those characters suck.
I think Bryan Cranston sucks. I think you end up rooting for James Franco.
No, I don't root for him at all. He sucks so much.
That's unreal.
No, he's like a fucking small child. It's just, like, so stupid. You, like, sit there, and, like, at the end of the movie, like, I'm not on Bryan Cranston's side, but I'm, like, really want to ask this, like, girl who's, like, a beautiful Stanford student. And I'm just like, but why though? Like, why are you with this guy who does seem to suck?
I mean, he sucks in terms of, like, he's not your traditional boyfriend.
Yeah, he's not the traditional type of guy who doesn't suck. He's a different thing.
He's rough around the edges.
He's not rough around the edges. He's just a jerk off. He just, like, keeps making, like, weird sexual comments about them.
He's sincere, and he's genuine, and, you know, he's well-intentioned.
Is he well? What are his intentions, though?
He's, you know, unrelatable, but that's what happens when you're a tech mogul, you know?
But, like, is it, though? Like, do you have to be like that?
No, you don't have to be, but I guess you're at risk of being, you know? And he's just hook, line, and sinker, he's in there. But he's still a good person.
What does he do that's a good person?
You know, he's just, he's very genuine. He's very, he's just an earnest, sort of caring and loving individual. And he wants what's best for his loved ones. And,
does he,
you know, he's willing
like,
to
when?
Just
when
completely.
When did this happen? Is this like what? Is like a deleted scene?
What are you talking about? He invited his girlfriend's family out to spend Christmas with him, right? Playing host, rolling out the red carpet.
But then he's
hoops.
A terrible host, though.
He's not a terrible host.
Yes,
How the fuck is he a terrible host?
He's talking about Bryan Cranston banging his daughter the whole time.
Oh, he's just, you know, he doesn't have manners, so he lacks some social grace. You know, that doesn't mean he's a piece of shit all around.
It means
around.
He's a bad host.
I don't think it's a bad host.
It's weird
host
to invite
at all.
People over and then just, like, be very uncomfortable towards them.
But in his from his perspective, it's not being uncomfortable. That's why Steph has to rein him in. He's sort of like, he's rough around the edges, and he needs to.
You keep saying he's
coaching.
Rough around the edges, though, but he's just rude to them. He's just weird about it.
Oh, he's not rude to them. He's completely welcoming and
he's
warm.
He's absolutely rude about it.
And he's you know, he's just like, I don't know, in your face and loud. He's obnoxious.
Yeah,
at times.
Yeah, rude and obnoxious and unappealing.
He lacks manners and social grace. That doesn't mean he's a piece of shit or a bad person.
But he is also those things.
He's not.
What? He has no good qualities. You keep, like, pretending there's all these other good qualities. His good quality seems to be he has a bunch of money, and then he's, like, an eccentric weirdo.
He cares deeply about Steph, right?
Does he?
He's very welcoming.
Does he care deeply about her? Like, in what way?
He cares about his employees. He cares about nature. You know? I think he's a good dude.
I don't know. By what standards?
He's, you know, since, I don't know, I think I've said it all. You know, he's earnest, sincere, genuine, he's a good host.
But, like, he's genuinely an asshole, though.
In what way is he an asshole?
Again, he just, like, invites them here, and then is just, like, terribly rude to them the whole time.
He's not rude to them.
He is rude to
them.
That's weird. That's even weirder. I don't know what that was.
I didn't say he's not weird. I didn't say he lacks social manners
and
grace.
That's not, like, a nice, yeah, but, like, at some point, that becomes rude.
I think it's, you know, overly endearing, you know?
It's overly endearing? You're
to
saying
the point
if,
of being
if you
rude?
Met this guy, you'd like him?
If I were Bryan Cranston, who am I? Just me?
Yeah.
Oh, I think it'd be hilarious.
But, like, you think you'd like this guy and want to be around him?
I don't know that I'd want to be around him all the time.
Because we know some people who aren't not like this guy. And like, you know, and also if you're Bryan Cranston, you definitely hate him.
Yeah, I could see that. But eventually Bryan Cranston comes around.
Yeah, that makes Bryan Cranston less likable, I think.
I don't know that Bryan Cranston was ever likable in this.
Yeah, I think he gets less likable. I think he's supposed to be like, oh my god, give him a chance, whatever. But like, when he gives the guy a chance, I'm like, no, that's less understandable. Like, I thought you were kind of over the top with how angry you were, but now, like, now that you're like forgiving this guy, it's like weirder because the guy sucks.
It's crazy. In the context of this podcast, you're like Bryan Cranston before the arc, and I hope that by the end of this episode, I'll get you there.
Like I said, I think Bryan Cranston at the end is worse, so I hope I don't get that.
You'll at least be accepting of Laird.
No, I hate Laird. Laird is the worst.
Anyway, at some point, we were talking about this, and I forget, what nationality did you think Gustav was? So Gustav is played by
Keegan-Michael. I thought he was supposed to be Indian.
Okay. So Gustav,
is he not?
He's not Indian. Gustav is the butler and, like, I don't know, good friend and trainer of Laird, right? And played by Keegan-Michael Key. He's not Indian, though. Like, it literally, I watched it with subtitles. It said at some point, Gustav, and then it says what he's saying. But in brackets, it had in a German accent. And then at some point, he goes, oh, yeah, I'm sitting on pins and needles, right? And everything S becomes sh, you know? Like,
I think at some point he's doing an Indian accent.
He's not doing an Indian accent at any point.
I think his character is just very broad. You can say he's German all you like, but at some point he's doing like an offensively racist Indian accent.
No, he's not. Every yes, time he says V, it becomes Z, you know?
Maybe he's German. He's German Indian, but he's
this
definitely
is classic German.
He's playing like, an Indian guy.
At some point he said Scheiße. You know,
that's again, he could be German Indian, but he's playing an Indian man.
No, can you just not differentiate between what an Indian person might sound like versus a German? Like, they're totally different. This is very clearly German.
Not in Keegan-Michael Key's portrayal of this. I think he's playing an Indian.
It's, oh my god, it's a home run German. You know, I just can't believe you missed this one. It's unreal.
No, like, it's bad. It's weird. It's bad and weird.
Oh man, yeah, Gustav. I don't know. Here, one of the issues I had was that early on we learn that Ned and his paper business, right, is kind of falling behind with the times. Things are moving digital, and nobody's buying paper anymore. It's a real sort of Dunder Mifflin story. But you know, I guess they didn't want to articulate exactly why his business is struggling, or I guess the metric they use to indicate that his business is struggling is simply to show up on the screen like he's looking at how much money he owes versus how much money he has. And I think he's in like a debt position of $400,000. And that's supposed to convey to the audience that his business is failing. And that's just not true in the slightest. And I fucking hate it. Like, that's one thing this movie does twice that just irritates me from someone who, you know, is involved with accounting and finance. It really pissed me off.
Yeah, I'm sure think the average person doesn't care at all about.
Doesn't give a shit, yeah, no. But that's one thing, like, if I had any fucking say in this movie to make it better, it would be that.
That's what you would change?
That's what I would change.
You would change
like,
all of the things?
I would be like, look, you need to look at your income statement, not your statement of financial position, in order to identify whether or not the business is failing
or
succeeding.
You wouldn't, like, add some jokes?
Make
likable characters.
This movie's so peppered with jokes and has tons of likable characters.
This
you're
movie
so
has neither of those, none of those things.
You're unreal. You're unreal. Okay.
I think the reason I like, so I put this movie on a list because I liked Zoe Deutsch in, I think that's her name, in a different movie, but she's not in this movie.
Oh yeah, she's not great in this movie.
She's just not in the movie.
No, she's the catalyst for the movie existing, but she's not the component. The movie is, you know, James Franco and Bryan Cranston, and then peppered in with a little bit of Steph and a little bit of Scotty and a little bit of Gustav, and a little bit of Megan Mullally.
But she's on the cover, but she's like the sixth lead of this movie.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
You know,
that's right.
So I'm just saying, I didn't get what I was looking for out of this movie. Because I liked her in, what is
it? Zombieland?
The setup? Oh, is she in Zombie? I don't think I don't remember from that.
Oh, I think she's in Zombieland 2.
Oh, maybe. I don't think I've seen that one.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah, I can't believe you said all. Okay, so then the family meets Laird and Gustav, right? Gustav is the estate manager. They have an MIT intern named Randy. And James Franco comes out and he's like, I don't know, cursing and using all sorts of profanity. Be like, hey, the family's here, you motherfuckers, get up here, right? And he's just a bit much, you know, coming on extra. I guess he kisses Megan Mullally on the lips and sucks on her nose in a real weird way. Like, he's just, he's rough around the edges, you know? He's not socially graceful and doesn't have a lot of manners and doesn't know, you know, how to behave like a normal person, I'd say. But that's okay, you know? Which we'll learn. So anyway, after that, he, you know, welcomes the family into his house. And he says, I did something crazy for you guys. And he shows that he got a back tattoo of their Christmas card. And in that, you know, it says happy holidays and everything. Like, it is their Christmas card tattooed on his back. And everyone is shocked by this. Even him. Like, they're like, it says happy holidays. And he goes, what? It does? Get the fuck out of here. Fuck you. Like, he dives in with he's 100% heart. You know, not a lot of forethought in there.
He seems stupid, though. That's the thing. He just seems so painfully stupid.
He's whimsical. He's not stupid. He's whimsical. I'm whimsical. You know?
This guy's a buffoon. Like, he just has, like, no idea how he's affecting other people.
Exactly.
I'm not, like, anti-whimsy, like, having a good time. But this guy is, just, like, doing stupid stuff that doesn't appear to help anybody, ever.
I thought it would be a nice gesture, you know, welcome them into the house. I'm going to get a tattoo of all of you on my back to show how much I care about you.
That isn't a thing people would like, though.
He doesn't know that or care, but he thought maybe there's
but
a chance to
like if you're
like
doing
it.
Things, but like a character that neither knows nor cares is just like not fun for me. Like, I don't know. Well, he should one of those things, you know?
He suspected that it might be a good gesture. And like, therefore he just dove in fully. He came up with it on his own.
But you like, know, why would he think that?
He's a bit zany, you know, he's a bit out there. He's unorthodox, you know?
He is unorthodox. In like an unappealing way.
You know, at first it's a bit much, you know, but then...
And it just builds from there.
With more and more endearing things,
that
you
has,
know?
When did those happen? When does he do a single... like, you would be endeared to him ever?
I'd be like, wow, this guy really loves my sister, you know? If I were Scotty, this guy really loves my sister. If I were Bryan Cranston, I'd be like, this guy's a bit fucking wacky, you know? I don't know that he's a good fit for my my daughter. But, you know, here we are. Let's hope to make the best of it and see where this goes.
Yeah, you think that'd be how you would feel in this situation?
Yeah. I mean, he's completely unfazed because James Franco's like, oh, yeah, I guess it's stuck on there, huh? And he just doesn't care. And then later on, he's having a one-on-one conversation with Steph, and he's like, was the tattoo too much? Okay, I promise I won't get any more tattoos of them while they're here. And, like, that's a funny line. You don't think that was funny?
No, I don't think any of it was funny. Because it was just like, you have to make this character so ridiculously stupid to then try to deliver these lines. Then you have to like ask that I care about this character.
He's outlandish. He did an outlandish, outrageous gesture. And then in his promise to do better, he says, okay, I promise not to do that very outrageous thing anymore.
No, I know. I understand the joke. I just think if you, like, sell your character out by making him this fucking stupid, you can't then ask me to care about anything that he does or how he feels. You know?
I guess. Well, so then after that, what, do they have a nice dinner? And, of course, it's one
like,
of the guys...
What is the thing that he wants?
What does Laird want? He wants to be accepted by the,
and
by
what
the
is,
family.
What is he like about Zoe? Is it, not Zoe. Her name's... No, Zoe's the actress, right? Stephanie.
He loves everything about Zoe. He's head over heels in love with her.
Because he mostly talks about banging her.
I mean, it does come up a bit. I don't want to deny that.
Many inappropriate times. I think, yeah, that was like one of my notes. After Keegan Michael Key's Indian, I said he talks about banging their daughter a lot. Like, that was most of what the movie was, it felt like.
Well, that's just introducing the characters and establishing, like, the point, the launching off point for the movie. Because up until this point, you haven't met Laird. So the same time Bryan Cranston is, like, meeting Laird for the first time, we are too.
And right? we don't like him.
He's trying to make a good impression. He's rolling out the red carpet.
And he's doing a bad job.
No, he's not. It's a fucking
Oh, okay, my God.
He gets the guy from Top Chef to come up with a fucking, like, 3-star restaurant
meal. Yeah, he
has
a lot of money.
Yeah, and he doesn't matter. He doesn't care how much it costs.
Because he's a multi-billionaire. He paid for a guy to cook. That's not anything.
He's rolling out the red carpet. It's not, you know, it doesn't matter. He didn't get, you know, Emeril out there. He got the guy from Top Chef to make him a 3-star, you know, meal. But anyway, of course, it comes out and it's like, I don't know, edible soil, edible paper, and like, I don't know, the idea of food more, you know, more than it is actual food.
Yeah. So he paid someone to make them a meal that is not good.
Yeah, but I mean, perhaps, you know, some salt of the earth Midwesterners might not appreciate that. But that's just more of him lacking social grace and you know, foresight. He doesn't know how to relate to these people because he's a tech mogul and he's been.
You keep saying a tech mogul. Is this like an archetype that, like, if you're a tech mogul, you're just like a certain thing and you can't relate to people? Or, like, it's like your version of a tech mogul is Mark Zuckerberg, but in the movie The Social Network, and like that's what a tech mogul has to be?
I think it's a reasonable thing of what a tech mogul might be. Yeah, I mean, and this guy got to start even sooner. Like, Mark Zuckerberg might have been normal up until college, and then Facebook took off. But apparently, in the context of this movie, Laird was like a successful 13-year-old, so he just never had normal experiences beyond that. And this is the culmination of his life being
like,
a tech mogul for 20 years. He never figured out how to adult.
Has more social grace than this kid.
I don't think that's true.
They do.
Have you hung out with any 13-year-olds lately?
No, I don't hang out with 13-year-olds, Jake. Out of the two of us, I'm the one who doesn't do that.
So then if there's an authority that can tell you what a 13-year-old may be like, it's pretty square on Laird Mayhew, isn't it?
Because the reason that I don't hang out with 13-year-olds is that, like, I know that they lack
manners and social grace.
Exactly. And still I'm like, if I had to choose, gun to my head, between this guy and 13-year-old to hang out with, I would definitely choose a 13-year-old.
Well, yeah, because you still think that a 13-year-old has hope, whereas this guy...
No, not because I'm going to, like, grow up with them together. I'm in there for the long haul. I'm just saying,
No, like, it's more forgivable if you're a 13-year-old acting
like
this.
It's not even forgivable. I'm not trying to forgive everybody. If I'm just like, I want to not have a miserable time, I'd much rather hang out with a random 13-year-old playing Fortnite than whatever the hell this kid's doing on the average day. This guy is just so unbelievably obnoxious.
I mean, he's at times obnoxious. Can't deny that. But it always comes from a good place. So anyway, you didn't appreciate the whole dinner scene? Because, like, these Midwesterners, he's trying to roll out the red carpet for them, paying the Top Chef guy, and it's just food that they don't give a fuck about? Like, that's funny to me.
The funny version of this, I feel like, is, like, Meet the Parents.
That's a different funny version of this, but yeah.
But, like,
that's when everything goes wrong for the protagonist.
Yeah.
This is when, I guess, is Laird the protagonist in this one?
No, Bryan Cranston is the protagonist.
We're supposed to be rooting for Bryan Cranston? No, I'm rooting for Laird the whole time. No,
Bryan Cranston is the protagonist. We're in his shoes all the time. We're following him.
Hmm.
It's like the movie's told from the point of view of him. Like, I don't know if there's any scenes with Laird without him.
Yeah.
he might not be like the hero of the movie, but he is the protagonist.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Meet the Parents is. So would you like this movie if it were from Laird's perspective? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying in that movie, like, I mean, that movie's De Niro is like more of a jerk to the guy. Although sort of equally, because Bryan Cranston is also a jerk to this guy. But again, the guy sucks. But in that movie, like, the conflict is like the guy's trying to impress the parents, but also like just some unfortunate stuff happens. So even as he good-naturedly tries to impress the parents, it doesn't work out. In this, it's like he's trying to impress the parents, but they're at the dinner table and he's just talking about banging her all the time. You know? And it's just like, oh, okay. Like, Bryan Cranston is being like weird and difficult. But then he's like, then afterwards he's like, oh, we just got out of the shower and we talked it over and I'm sorry. It's like every scene, like, again, I'm not trying to be like the prudish one here, but just every scene he's talking about banging their daughter. And it's just like, and it's weird how little the daughter is part of any of this. Because, like, they mostly talk to him about the daughter who they, like, you could not, the daughter could not be in this movie and you would hear about her as like a nameless sex partner of his.
Yeah. Because the movie's not about her. It's about Laird and Bryan Cranston.
It's kind of about her.
It's kind of about her. She's the catalyst, but anyway, yeah. I mean, I think that whole first dinner scene is just more of the same. It's Laird saying all sorts of shit. That he probably shouldn't say. I did think it was weird that that Steph's brother was like clarifying whether or not the first time they met or whenever they went on a date, he was like, wait, did you have intercourse or not? And yeah, I thought that was weird. But I mean, the whole interaction, that's a great scene. I don't know why you didn't think that scene was good.
It's not funny. It's just stupid. Like, I don't know.
You didn't like it whenever Bryan Cranston said, Scotty, shut up and eat your paper? Like, come on.
No, because, like, the comedy of this movie didn't work for me at all. The fucking, what is it, they have the Siri who's, like, Kaylee Cuoco or whatever?
Yeah, the girl from Big Bang Theory.
Yeah. Who just, like, I don't know, is like, yeah, like, I don't know, a swearing sort of a Siri that, like, it's not like, if she did the voice, but it's supposed to be like a Siri. It's not supposed to be like someone watching them. It's not supposed to be like the person is.
No, it's AI. Yeah, I think they just paid Kaylee Cuoco to do it.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I didn't find any of that entertaining. I found it weird that, like, one of the things that comes around is the bidets. And they act like this was made in 2016.
Yeah.
Which wasn't that long ago. But they act like bidets are like this like weird space age thing. You know?
I mean, they aren't popular in the States.
No, but it's not like you hear about I mean, they're like not unpopular. There's like major companies that sell bidets. You know? And they just act like it's like this weird, crazy thing. Like, that joke just felt like 10 years old. I guess we're seeing it now, 8 years later, but it felt like 10 years from before it happened.
So do you think if you would watch this movie when you were, I don't know, 10 years younger, you would have liked it?
Maybe, because, like, it is stupid.
It's pretty juvenile, sure.
You know, it's, like, really dumb.
I think a lot of comedy movies are dumb.
Yeah, but I think as you, like, but it's not for kids. Like, there's a lot of swearing. It's, like, very sexual. It's meant for adults. It's just, like, a bad comedy. It's just, like, not a well-made comedy.
The first scene we get whenever Laird is talking about banging, you know, their daughter. He's talking about the date, and he says, you should have seen her. She opened up like a flower. And Megan Mullally's like, I shouldn't have seen it, but now I feel like I have. It's like, how do you not think that's funny? The whole interaction is pretty well done. And then the next one, yeah, he like he's naked in a robe. Well, I guess in a robe, but he's soaking wet. And he's like, yeah, basically, I just banged your daughter. We talked it out. She told me that shit just flies out of my mouth, you know. But here I am trying to make it up to you guys. And we get a little of Laird's backstory. Apparently, his mom got picked up by his dad in a bar in Oakland, and they had some sloppy car sex, and then she never saw him again. But he's not close with his mom either, because she's kind of a motherfucking bitch. It's like, it's like, I don't...
None of this is endearing. This all sucks.
What do you not appreciate about that scene, though?
It's not funny. It's just stupid. Like, all these characters are so unlikable.
But the situation is...
I don't care what happens to you people. You guys are so boring.
He's trying to make a great impression.
Well, like, okay, see, this is, I guess this is like,
parents.
This is like a thing that, like, I guess maybe I'm in the minority of in, like, the real world. It's like, there's a point where being bad enough at trying is, like, means the trying isn't useful. Like, you don't get points for effort when you're this bad. You can't be, like, this fucking pathologically stupid and still, like, be off the hook. Like, well, I put in the effort. I was just offensive constantly and weird and got your bed wet for some reason. It's like, you don't know how water works? Like, what's happening here? You know?
Yeah. The situation, though, is, you know, he was a bit across the line at dinner. And he realizes that, and he wants to do the right thing, and he comes
and he's
and
still across the line.
And then he just goes across the line again.
Yeah. Because the character sucks.
He doesn't suck. He just lacks manners and social
is like,
grace.
The thing is to like show you're on the guy's side, Bryan Cranston has to be like so boring and like unappealing in this that he's just like such a stick in the mud the whole time. But again, it's one of those movies where I just don't like either of them. So I'm like, this guy is such so obnoxious, but Bryan Cranston's character, what's his name?
Ned.
Ned. Ned is just like so fucking boring. Every time you see him, he's just like, I don't like doing stuff. I don't like going to Laird's house. I don't like being on vacation with my family. Da da da. You're like, okay, whatever. It's just like he's always like worried about the fucking paper factory. It's like, who the fuck is? You know. Also, Keegan-Michael Key is definitely doing Indian accent. I don't know what the fuck we're talking about here.
He's not.
Yeah, I've watched it again. He's doing a fucking Indian accent.
It's like you've never spoken with an Indian person.
I have fucking Indian people. I don't know if I've ever spoken with a German person, but this is a fucking Indian accent he's doing. You know? Like, I want to meet his dialect coach and like see what the fuck was going on here.
I don't think he has one.
Because if he's aiming for Germany, he's fucking swerved right over to the subcontinent.
I think he's fucking right in the middle of that bullseye. He's spot on German.
No fucking way. He's doing an Indian accent this whole time. It's really strange.
Yeah, so anyway, I think it's funny that Laird calls the parents bro and dudes like 100% of the time. He just has no semblance of understanding of how to interact with your girlfriend's parents, you know? And then there's the whole scene about, like, it's a paperless household. So Bryan Cranston gets stuck on the toilet after having some edible paper. I thought that whole scene was...
stupid and boring.
It could have been better. But...
Because, yeah, but that's just, like, such a... Again, I know this movie is 8 years old, but that seems like a joke from 20 years ago. But it's like, oh my god, isn't this toilet weird? Oh my god, what a weird thing where they have to fucking press the button to spray your ass. It's like, it's not that big of a deal. It's like, just like, why are you being so weird about this? You know, where he needs people to like help him. You know, they act like he's like glued to the toilet. It's like, you're able to figure this out. Like, be reasonable.
Okay, wait. So let me ask you, how many times in your life have you used a bidet as it was intended to be used?
I think literally zero.
Literally zero for me, too. So it is uncommon, despite the fact that, like, I think I've seen a bidet on multiple instances.
And yet, I'm fairly sure I could figure it out without needing my wife and Gustav to come and talk me through taking a shit.
What if it were super futuristic and all the buttons were in Japanese? You'd be completely lost. It's not just like an on-off thing.
I still think I could figure that out. I think if you just press all the buttons, you're not in that much danger.
Yeah, that's probably true. But it doesn't make good comedy, you know, if you just sit there and figure it out.
It doesn't make good comedy. That's my problem with it. It's fine that me taking a shit in real life is not good comedy. It'd be less fine if I shot it and filmed it and put it in a movie.
Well, it was an attempt. It wasn't a home run.
And again,
you
don't get points for just attempts. That's like your fundamental thing. You think as long as both teams played on, like, it's fine that the movie isn't funny or interesting.
That scene's not why I like this movie.
But I actually think that the fact that none of this is funny or good makes the movie bad. You know?
Well, so then the next day, right, Laird and Ned are walking around the grounds, and Laird delivers the line. He's like, everything you eat here comes from within a 500-yard radius. I call it lawn-to-table eating, which is like a funny concept. And then they see an alpaca walk across, and he's like, hey, Daisy, right? And he's super sweet to him. I thought it was a good opportunity to say, like, she's going to be delicious tonight, or, you know, I can't wait to eat her. But he doesn't. She just kind of walks off. But I think you, at some point, had, you know, what did you say? Instead of calling her Daisy, instead of naming her Daisy, just name her, like, Saturday or something. Was that your joke?
That's what I said?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
No.
I would have made a joke. If I'm going to write a comedy, I would have put some jokes in there.
It was the lawn to table eating. That was the joke.
But then the rest of the scene was just for the one. I don't even remember this. Is this on my thing? I just said the scene is so long. Oh, I think I was talking about the bidet scene. Yeah.
No, so then they're like walking, and Gustav attacks Laird, and Ned's super confused. And he's like, well, should I stop? And should I stop them? And Gustav is like, no, trust me. Just leave me alone. But he does it in a classic German accent. And then he, you know, continues battling Laird. But then they sort of like give up and tap out. And you realize that Gustav is just keeping Laird on his toes because, you know, Laird doesn't know if a paparazzi is going to go nuts. And he just wants to, you know, work up his, you know, self-defense techniques, and Gustav helps him with that as his butler. So anyway, in response to this, Ned's like, oh yeah, okay, that's classic Pink Panther, which I don't know this reference, but like they also don't get the reference, but you know, the way Ned tells it, it's like, okay, well, what you're doing is exactly what happens with the relationship in Pink Panther. And they're like sort of charmed by that, just being completely oblivious. It's sort of like, I don't know, that one time in the funny movie The Other Guys, whenever Michael Keaton's character keeps inadvertently saying TLC lyrics, and everyone's like, you gotta fucking know that's TLC, right? And he's like, what are you talking about? I have no idea.
Yeah, I guess so, I haven't seen the Pink Panther, so I also didn't have any idea what they were talking about.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that as a, you know, comedic concept is pretty well executed, and right. I'd say both of those movies.
I agree that The Other Guys is funny. But, like, this is a different movie.
It's a different movie. And
just because you make a similar joke in a different movie doesn't make it mean this movie's good.
Like, on the whole, like, okay, if that's going to be your stance, but you can't say that that joke isn't funny, because if it works in The Other Guys, it's going to work in here.
No, like being actually, oblivious to the actually the like individual aspects of a joke matter. It's not just like you choose a genre and like some genres are funny and some aren't. Like the actual execution of the joke matters. And this movie has no good jokes.
No, it had the good joke. You're just arguing the
no,
execution
it didn't.
Wasn't good.
It didn't have any good. The joke part of the execution is part of the joke. It's not independent of the fucking execution.
Yeah, I think it was well executed. Do you think
it wasn't?
It
wasn't funny.
It
was boring. I don't know.
Oh my god! Because
again, none of these characters are interesting. Like you're not on. Like the incredulity of Bryan Cranston's character of these people making a reference, like that they don't understand, doesn't land because like you just don't give a shit about Bryan Cranston. Like the characters matter. You know.
Like I guess
being able to be in the shoe of the character who's like. how are you guys making this exact reference and not getting it? In their frustration over these people, like, clearly doing a thing and not realizing it. Like, you have to be able to be in that character's shoes, and you can't, because Bryan Cranston sucks in this.
Yeah, but he's not, like, insanely unlikable. This is still, like, when he's just, like, unlikable. He's not completely unrecoverable, right? He hasn't come out and said, you know, you can't date this guy. He's still just this Midwesterner with a failing business who's going out to meet his daughter's love interest, and he's just, it's a lot for him to take in. So at this point, you're like sort of still okay with rooting for him. So whenever he tries to...
No, see, I'm never rooting for him because he's just such a jackass. He's just such a grump the whole time.
I don't think he's a jackass in the beginning.
He's a grump.
Not
he's
at this
a
point.
Grump the whole time. He's always like, oh my god, we gotta do this thing.
He's just like a normal Midwesterner, you know?
What do you think? I feel like you keep, like, you know, invoking these archetypes, like, he's the tech mogul, and he's the... As if these are, like, things that I should instantly understand, be like, oh, Midwesterners, they hate going on vacation. You wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, they're just, like, simple people, you know?
What the fuck just is like this normal people? Like, they don't like going on vacation?
They're just, like, pretty traditional in their
views.
His son
is also a Midwesterner who seems to be having a great time. And
they're probably not
going to
have a lot of tattoos or piercings, you know?
That's fine. Like, that's fine. I don't expect... I'm not like, oh, Bryan Cranston sucks. He's having any tattoos. You know, the kid... One of the scenes, the fucking brother.
They have probably have a modest dislike for, you know, the gay community. They're slightly racist. You know, just Midwesterners.
They don't... I don't think they are racist because I don't see a single goddamn thing about fucking, Keegan-Michael Key doing this ridiculous Indian accent, so maybe...
Well, he's German, so
seems
maybe
like
they
everyone,
give him a pass for that.
Seems like everyone's on the same page with that. But what was the one I want? Oh, there's the thing where the son, like, him and James Franco do, like, a video game improv scene.
Oh, yeah, Scotty and James Franco.
Yeah, they just sit there, like, at the thing, talking about, like, I need a seat at the table, Game of Thrones, grabbing titties, whatever. It's like, I think they clearly just watched the other movie that Jonah Hill was in, because I think he wrote this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they probably watched, was it The 40-Year-Old Virgin? Where they do that scene?
Is Jonah Hill in 40-Year-Old Virgin?
Yeah.
Isn't it Paul Rudd, the black guy, Steve Carell, and Seth Rogen?
Yeah, Jonah Hill's like a customer at the eBay store.
Oh, okay. Yeah, briefly. Not a big part of it.
Yeah, but I assume he watched the movie at some point.
Yeah, probably.
And at some point, I think they're like, is it Paul Rudd and Seth Rogen are like playing video games and doing... Is that the one where they do Do You Know Why You're Gay or whatever?
You Know How I Know You're Gay?
Yeah.
That's not what that's not the Laird-Scotty relationship.
It's literally them... It's framed the same way, them sitting there doing like improv over a video game scene, and you're just like,
why do you
oh
think,
my god.
Why do you think 40-Year-Old Virgin is the only fucking movie that can have a situation where two guys are playing video games?
I don't think it's the only one. I'm just saying, I think he saw this in this other movie and was like, oh, that worked in that movie, and then just did the same scene, but it was shitty.
He owns a video game company and he's relating to his future brother-in-law who's like a 13-year-old.
Yeah, but the improv they're doing is shitty and not funny.
I would agree with that. It's not a great scene.
That's my
point. He's just bonding with his brother-in-law.
Yeah, I'm not saying the scene doesn't make sense for the characters to do. I'm just saying the execution of the scene is bad. Like, there have been better versions of two guys sitting there playing video games, you know, bullshitting, and it's fun.
Can't fault you there. Yeah, you got a good point there.
I'm just saying you have to make good jokes, you know?
There are good jokes in here. It's not that you have 90. You don't have 90 straight minutes of fucking home runs, and that if that's your threshold for what constitutes a good comedy movie, you're gonna have a bad time.
I'm just saying, like, the batting ratio of this movie is way too low.
I think it's
this is like 400. This is like minor leagues.
Come on.
No, this is awful. This is like before they had the fucking when they made the pitchers hit and they weren't the Japanese kid. This is like if the guy hits like 150 on the season, you're like, oh, he's pretty good. Yeah, you know.
That's
really
unreal.
Holding his own out there.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't like whenever... So Laird, after walking with Ned, they like go into a teepee to have an ayahuasca moment or something.
I also don't like that his name is Laird. I think that's weird. Just weird and off-putting the whole movie. You can't say, oh, he's a tech mogul, so he has a weird name. He had a weird name when he was born, apparently.
Maybe he wouldn't be a tech mogul if he didn't have a weird name.
Maybe. I think there is some, like, nominal determinism.
Yeah, maybe, you know, the Laird from the other movie we just watched, No Hard Feelings. Maybe he was also a tech mogul.
Is that a common name? Isn't it weird that we watch two movies with that same name?
I've never heard of anyone named Laird.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, so they're in the teepee, and Laird asks Ned for his blessing to propose to Steph, right? And Ned says no, obviously, because he hasn't seen anything impressive. It's only been like a day, and, you know, the guy's been...
fucking weirdo. Know,
obnoxious to an extent, and, you know, a little bit unhinged. So why the fuck would Ned say yes, right? And then, like, in response to this, James Franco's like, oh man, this went so much differently than when I rehearsed it with Gustav. He's just like totally floored that Ned didn't instantly say yes. And that's a funny concept to me.
Yeah,
like,
I
of
think
of course
all,
he naively thinks.
I guess they're all one of funny concepts.
You think the acting is bad?
Kind of. Or just, I mean, like the like micro level writing of the scene. Which I get.
No.
Yes. It's just not it, like it doesn't nothing lands.
So,
like,
so
it's not like
that...
I can't sit there and be like, oh, I see where, like, I can't figure out what the joke was supposed to be. It's just like none of these jokes land.
Okay, so do you think that all of these actors were reading the screenplay verbatim?
I'm not even sure if there was a screenplay.
Do you think that with every comedy movie there's a little bit of just like, well, let's get some people in the room and hopefully they can be funny around each other and they'll just
do something
improvisational.
Again, that's why I wrote this video game improv scene is bad, because it felt like that's what that scene was in The 40-Year-Old Virgin. They just had those two guys sit there and like make jokes back and forth and filmed it, and I honestly don't think they cut out the best ones. I think that one they just decided to make like a 5-minute scene of that.
But of course Paul Rudd and Seth Rogen is going to be funnier in the end than Scotty and James Franco.
But like, those are the actors you hired for your fucking movie. You can't be like, oh, of course it couldn't be funny. We made our comedy movie with actors not funny. It's like, why? No one told you to do that.
It's just a way to keep the plot going, right? Because that's when we learn...
The plot?
The plot.
The plot is a thing we're pretending this movie has?
Are you fucking kidding me?
This movie doesn't have a plot?
This movie has a plot.
This movie doesn't have a plot?
It has character arcs. It has...
Oh my god. It has none of that stuff.
A sound plot.
Oh my god.
I mean, this is unreal.
None of this is true.
Did we watch the same movie? Like, is there a different version in this movie that you watched that sucked ass? I don't get it.
It was weird. This was produced by Ben Stiller, too. You would have thought he knew the better version of this movie because he was in it.
Yeah, and he's telling it from a different perspective.
Yeah, and they did it poorly.
Oh, man. Let's see, what else do I have? Yeah, so he calls him Dad. He says he's not going to ask Steph to marry him without Ned's blessing. So then he gets back to the house, right? And Gustav takes him into like a pantry or something. He says, come with me immediately. And like, this is just more of James Franco being totally oblivious. He's like, what the fuck is this room? Right? Because he doesn't know the pantry in his own house. But yeah, in there, Gustav's like, tell me how it went. Did he say yes? And, you know, James Franco's response is, it's like we speak different languages. And Keegan-Michael Key says, you do. He speaks English, and you speak English with resounding amounts of fuck.
Yeah, that's not funny.
It is funny.
It's not funny. It's actually weird that the guy swears so much. It's just, like, kind of off-putting. And then it's weird that the movie, like, notes it, because then they had him do it the whole time so they could make this bad joke later.
The movie knows he's flawed. He's rough around the edges.
You keep saying, like oh my god, did you get like a talking points memo from the studio? Like, I don't understand what the fuck we're talking about. You keep telling me he's a rough around the edges tech mogul and he's a, you know, conservative Midwesterner. Like, watch the zany antics. This movie is so bad.
It's not bad.
It's, oh my god, it's like a fucking first draft. Yeah, it's awful.
Anyway, yeah, so then we get to that scene where Scotty and Laird bond, and we understand Scotty's dreams for the business, and how he's sort of like, doesn't have the relationship with Ned that he wants either, right? So they're bonding over that. So anyway, Ned receives an Evite party at Laird's. And Scotty comes in. He's like, oh, you working on the books? It's like, what? As, you know, someone who's involved in the accounting and finance world, what the fuck could he possibly be doing, you working on the books? Like, why does Scotty care? What the fuck could Ned possibly be doing that is productive in any way?
Well, I think that line's just to move the plot along.
You know, fair enough. Hey, Dad, how you doing? Anyway, he tells his dad that some young tech entrepreneurs are going to be in attendance, which are Casey Wilson, Adam Levine, and he's going to broker a sit-down with some of them, to which Ned refuses because he's stuck in the past. He's a feeling like a paper company guy, and he can't get behind Evites, and he can't get behind, you know, this futuristic sort of 21st century
futuristic
type shit.
Using emails? This is in 2016. Again, this movie, I think, must have been written in, like, 2006.
How old was Jonah Hill in 2006? You think Jonah Hill was writing this shit when he was 16?
I think he wrote Superbad when he was, like, 16.
That was Seth Rogen.
Did Seth Rogen write it? Oh, I think he was 16 when he wrote it, though.
I think he was in high school with his friend Evan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes, I guess you could write
things
when
you're young.
I don't
think Jonah Hill has the same talent that fucking Seth Rogen does. Or Evan.
Okay, well, I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and evaluate who has what talent. My point is that I think it was probably... I mean, Jonah Hill is currently 41. So in 2006, right, he would have been... what do you call it? What's that?
23?
That's, what year is it now? That was 18 years ago then? Yeah, you would have been 23. Yeah, that sounds right. That's like, must have been the age of this character, right?
Of Laird?
Yeah.
Nah, Laird's in his early 30s.
How old's the girl supposed to be?
20.
Again? We have the same age gap?
Yeah.
In both these movies? What a strange...
It's consensual, though.
You say so. You know, did Adam Devine and Andrew Reynolds and the guy who plays Zach Perlman, who plays the IT guy?
Yeah, Dingle.
Yeah, they were all in The Intern together. So I wonder if this was like, I wonder if it's just like filmed in like maybe the New York comedy scene or something. But it's weird that all those people were in this other movie together. You know.
Yeah. Maybe. So anyways, we get to the party, right? And this is just more poking fun at fine
Elon
dining.
Elon Musk is in this movie too?
He is. Yeah, he's at the party. Because they're fucking tech moguls, right?
Apparently.
This is a party filled with tech moguls. And then some other people. But like, how do you not appreciate that they're poking fun at fine dining? Because Ned, who's like overwhelmed from all this stuff... He's at the party with his wife, and somebody comes up and he's like, do you want some Kobe beef sliders? And he's like, oh, thank God, some edible food. And then the dude just pulls out, like, I don't know, a holster filled with syringes of broth that tastes like Kobe beef sliders and just squirts it in Ned's mouth. I don't know. I think any movie that pokes fun at fine dining is, you know,
no, but
the point in favor
like
of the movie.
The broadest thing. It's just like, isn't it goofy how fine dining? You're like, I guess. And then you're like, do you have a joke about that? They're like, not really. You know?
But it's unexpected. He says, yes, I'd like some Kobe beef sliders, some actual food. And then he gets squirted in the mouth. Like, it's...
You know, I saw the scene. I just didn't think it was funny.
I mean, it's not fucking rolling on the floor laughing like, yo, I gotta go tell people about this and write about it, but it's, like, amusing.
To you, it was. To me, it was just boring. It was just so boring. And, like, I don't like Bryan Cranston as much as I think other people do.
What do you mean, like, as a person? I don't know him too well.
No, just, like, as an actor.
Oh, I think he's a phenomenal actor.
Yeah, see, I know a lot of people feel that way, and, like, I liked Malcolm in the Middle, but I didn't like Breaking Bad. And now I just feel like, because of Breaking Bad, Bryan Cranston's, like, in all these things. And everyone's like, oh, my God, fucking Bryan Cranston. I was like, he is a guy. Like, he's in the movie. You know, like, I've just never been impressed with any of his stuff since Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah, I mean, you're in the minority there.
So I, when you watch this, I'm just like, I mean, it's like I'm supposed to start clapping just because Brian Cranston's on scene. I'm just like, I don't think that's true.
I don't think that's true.
I think it's kind of true.
You're not supposed to clap just because Brian Cranston's in it. But that being said, like, Brian Cranston does his character better than some of the other supporting characters, and it's fucking palpable. Like, for instance, him compared to Megan Mullally. It's just, you know, one's an absolute winner and the other's just kind of mediocre, you know, at the tail end of her career.
I mean, I think his character is just written so poorly that it's hard for me to like any of it, but he's just so boring. I don't think he plays it with any particular anything.
Yeah. So anyway, at this party, right, they're trying to, like, you know, mingle with these people. And Bryan Cranston is meeting Casey Wilson and Casey Wilson's twin brother, whom it also seems like she has a sexual relationship with. So, yeah, I guess the incest made it into this movie. But he goes at some point, people love paper, you know, they love the feel of it in their hands. And in response to this, Casey, who owns like an Evite company, says, "I've never heard anyone say that." And then her incestuous brother says, "Yeah, we have not found that at all to be the case." Which I thought was, again, I thought it was funny. I don't know why you don't, why don't these jokes land with you?
Like, you're just going to read to me every joke and see if I laugh? Like, what do you think's going to happen?
I'm pointing out all the funny bits.
You're pointing out bits. You're pointing out bits. You know?
These are funny elements of the movie, and I don't know why you didn't think they were funny the first time you watched it. Like, how sour of a mood were you in when you watched this movie? That's you know, it's just a shame that you weren't able to enjoy it.
Yeah, it is a shame, because, like, I also would have liked the movie that I watched several times at this point.
Yeah. So then they talk about Bukkake earlier in the movie, and it comes up again.
But yeah, I was trying to figure it out. What's the context of it the first time?
So Laird is in his ayahuasca teepee, and he's trying to come up with game titles. And it was like, I don't know, something, something, Bukkake. And then Ned, in response to that, was like, "What's Bukkake?" And Laird, not wanting to say what it is, sort of plays it off as, oh, it's just like...
See, like, okay, so that's stupid then. Because it's like, why say it and then, like, not be willing to explain it? Like, you have this social acumen to know it's inappropriate to explain, but not to avoid saying it in the first place?
He didn't say it. It was a recording. Kaylee Cuoco played it back.
Of him saying it before?
Of him saying it from the other day.
Okay, so it was a stupid idea in the first place that he then had repeated by the thing, and then wouldn't explain... Like, it would make more sense if his character did explain it.
It would be fitting. Like, it wouldn't be unheard of. That's who his character is.
But then yeah. And, like, that's just such a like a stupid... I remember, I don't know if you've ever seen this movie. I watched a movie called, like, Soul Plane, I think.
With Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, and they kept talking about teabagging, and the guy's, like, trying to figure... The father in that is trying to figure out what teabagging is the whole time. And I don't know when Soul Plane came out.
2003, maybe?
2004, yeah. But that, I think this movie is from right around fucking 2006 or whatever. Because, like, that's a 23-year-old's joke to make. Like, I don't know. That's just... Yeah, I just don't get what you... What, I don't remember. How does it come back? What's the context it comes back in?
I think Ned tries to use the word in a way that, like, I don't know, Laird described. And he's like, "Oh, I just have a lot of feelings, you know, it's a real Bukkake." And he tries to use it in context. And then Adam Devine doesn't let it slide. And he's like, "I don't think that word means what you think it means." And he's like, "What are you talking about?" And then he explains it to Megan Mullally. And Megan Mullally's like, "Oh, yeah, I've definitely gotten Bukkake'd," right? But I think in that scene particularly, everyone plays their role pretty well, you know? So you should give that another watch. But then, you know, the culmination of this is Ned takes Steph outside. We get the namesake scene.
But then, like... Yeah, the Bukkake scene is terribly done. Like, now that you're describing it.
You think,
like,
it's terribly done?
It's terribly executed.
I think everyone plays their role pretty well in that scene.
No, they play it terribly.
Come on.
I think,
like,
the best one
is Ned is oblivious.
Megan McCulkey or whatever, who you don't like. When
Correct,
she, like,
I dislike her.
She jumps in on it, too. I think she does the best job of it. And then, oh, my God. And then, you know, then, like, fucking Adam Devine is, like, showing the kid a video for some reason. And, like, the daughter should be, like, more offended or more like, what the fuck is wrong with you people? Because, again, she's, like, a random Midwesterner. And you would think she'd be, like, reasonable about this. But, yeah, I don't know. They just, it's just so, oh, my God. Again, it's just like they just said, like, I don't know. It's like fucking, you know what it is?
It's not Ted 2. It's,
you know,
not Ted 2. Don't fucking say it.
No, I mean, it might be worse than that. This is fucking Cards Against Humanity type humor. You know?
Oh, fair.
That's
yeah.
what this is. And that game sucks. So, like, this
no, that
is.
That game does suck.
Yeah.
And
that's what
this is...
movie is. Cause
no.
It's just, yeah, just like picking stuff out, and you're like, oh, wouldn't it be zany? And then everyone's like, picks the zaniest one. You're like, no, oh my God, this is awful. This is terrible. Don't do that. You know?
I can see how you draw the comparison, but that's not what this movie is.
That's,
I mean, that might be what this particular Bukkake setup and payoff joke is.
You liked it. You're trying to sell me on it, but that's what
No, I'm saying everyone plays their role
they
really well.
They don't, though. They don't. They just, it's like the lowest hanging fruit. It doesn't build anything. It adds, like, nothing to the culture.
I think it's got enough characters in the scene to make it complex and funny.
There are a bunch of characters in the scene, and they do nothing
with
them.
And everyone plays,
all people who I've liked in other things. You know?
Yeah. So then we get the title of the movie. Ned's like, you know, why Laird? And apparently he reminds Steph of Ned because they're both honest and authentic, and it comes out in different ways. And Ned's like, okay, I'll try to understand it better. So then anyway, yeah, the night after this big rave party, Laird is outside feeding the chickens. Ned is just sort of looking at him from a distance, eating Pop-Tarts two at a time like a savage. And Laird, like, at some point, I guess, hears a rustling in the bushes. And then you see, like, Gustav jump out. And the opening move from Laird is to pick up a chicken and just chuck it at him. Did you not laugh at that?
No, I didn't laugh at any of it. But you just skipped over the part where they're, like, high and the wife is trying to bang him.
Oh, yeah, that's a nothing.
You didn't like that
What
one?
The fuck did you want to say about that?
I didn't like it. I just wanted to know that.
I don't need to go see myself. I'm just picking out the things that are amusing and funny, like the good parts about this movie, because you clearly missed all of them.
No, because this scene actually is relevant, because then she gets, like, they have, like, a pleasure function on the bidet. And the bidets are important, because they come back later.
I mean, I guess from a total plot perspective, but that's a small element that can be overlooked. Like, you don't need it.
I think you, I mean, I don't know. It seems more relevant than most of this stuff. Yeah.
God damn it. So then, yeah, like, he just throws a chicken at Gustav. It's hilarious. And then he does some evasive parkour. He gets injured, whatever. Then the next day, Ned and Laird go tree shopping, right? And this is like father-in-law, son-in-law bonding.
Okay, I want to notice, we're now like an hour into this movie. This is a long fucking movie for some reason.
No, I think it's like an hour 40, isn't it?
It's 111 minutes.
Oh, shit, okay.
And you feel all of those minutes.
Oh, god damn it.
Like, you feel them. You know?
Yeah, you feel, you know...
You feel like they should have cut out...
Amused.
21
at
of those
almost,
minutes.
At, you know, 100 out of those 111 minutes, you're thoroughly amused, you know, and smiling and gleeful.
No, none of those things.
God damn it. So anyway, they're tree shopping, and, you know, as they're walking around tree shopping, James Franco, or Ned's like, how about this tree? And James Franco's response to that was, nah, it doesn't get me hard. And Ned's response is that necessary? And James Franco goes, yeah, it helps. So then, yeah, Ned's like, oh, I used to sell Datsuns. And this is more, you know, Pink Panther comedy. He's like, what the fuck is a Datsun? And Ned's like, you know, the car. And he's like, no, I know what cars are, but what the fuck are you selling Datsuns for? You know, are you selling dogs? So I thought that was funny. And then, you know, they go and take the Christmas tree from the, I don't know, competitor video game company. Yeah,
it's like a rival game studio or something.
Yeah, so then they put it on the car and drive back. But anyway, on the car ride back, Laird spills the beans that Steph is going to drop out of Stanford and, you know, after freshman year, and she's going to head up the nonprofit foundation that Laird's going to start to, I forget what her cause was. Do you remember what it was?
I think she's doing like water projects in the third world.
Okay. Yeah. Something philanthropic.
You know, it might be sewage. I think it's toilets. Because I think they become like a toilet business, right?
Oh, that's a thing? Okay, yeah. Okay. So,
yeah, they might be trying to... Maybe she's doing a plumbing or something.
Ned learns that Steph is going to drop out of college to do this, you know, nonprofit thing. And he calls an emergency family meeting back whenever he gets to the house with the tree. And it's just the four of them, you know, the Midwesterners in the bedroom. And, you know, Ned's like... are you kidding me? You knew? Because Megan Mullally apparently knew that she was going to drop out of college. And this is where it's really palpable just how flat Megan Mullally is in comparison to Bryan Cranston, because she goes, honestly, honey, we thought you might freak out, so we wanted to wait until after Christmas. And like in the context, that joke is fantastic because he's in the midst of freaking out. And I thought it could have been better executed by Megan, but, you know, still good. Yeah, so then Ned's like, nah, this is it. You know, you're dropping out of college, you're going to start vaporizing, then you go from there to heroin. And Steph's like, really? And Ned's like, yeah, that's right. And after that, you get hooked on drugs, and you know what happens next? You become a hooker, a prostitute, a pimp's bitch. That's what's going to happen to you. I see it very clearly, right? So he's just completely freaking out because Steph is dropping out of college, which is pretty standard for what a Midwesterner might, you know, how they might react to his daughter going to Stanford and dropping out. But in response to this, like, she sarcastically says, oh my, well, how long do I have before I become a hooker? And he goes, I'm glad you asked. Not long. And it's just, it's pretty well executed. I don't know how you don't enjoy that scene.
I mean, listen, I'm sure there's some moments that work. I don't remember that exact one. But like, on the whole, like you said, they couldn't even get through a whole scene with everyone doing good acting. I don't know why the brother's involved in any of this. He's always, like, around, and I'm always just like, can you get the fuck off the screen? And I don't think this actor's bad. I feel like he's in other stuff. But, yeah, I just don't know what his, like, role in this is ever.
I think you might just be annoyed by, you know, teenagers. Which is not a bad stance to have, you know? Teenagers can be annoying.
Oh, he's in Tall Girl. I don't think I've ever seen Tall Girl, but I think that's like his major movie.
Yeah.
I don't know if I know him.
Well, anyway, one other thing. I guess Ned is pretty big into bowling, which bowling as an activity is, well, first to clarify, it's not a sport for anyone listening. And then secondly, like, I fucking hate it. Also, Ned has a signature move, like, I don't know, he watches wrestling, which might actually be a Midwestern thing, but like, he has adopted the crotch chop, which means suck it, you know. I think it was popularized by Degeneration X.
Yeah, I remember like X-Pac. I actually remember that from when I watched wrestling a little bit.
Is that Bret Hart and
I know some guy called X-Pac
and Triple H. Who's Degeneration X?
I don't know. I don't know exactly what we're talking. Yeah, Degeneration? Yeah, okay.
Shawn Michaels, Triple H.
Sure.
X-Pac. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, Ned has adopted that. And it's not really fitting for his character. I mean, I guess it does have Midwestern beginnings. But he's a boomer. And that was really popular for, you know, obviously Generation X. So it didn't make sense for him to adopt the crotch chop. But anyway, he tries to hack Laird with the help of Aaron.
The crotch drop is like they have it in the bowling scene too, because he's doing the crotch drop, right?
Yeah, that's his taunt, and it just doesn't make any sense. I don't see a 55-year-old Midwesterner doing that.
No, they do. Actually, the NBA has sort of picked it up a lot. There's a lot of guys in the NBA who like brought it back recently.
Are you shitting me? Well, this movie's a decade ago, so it's just like 10 years ago. Nobody was doing this.
Yeah, cyclical.
There was certainly no fucking 55-year-olds doing this 10 years ago. You know, there might have been some 35-year-olds doing it, but they're just, you know, trying to hold on to glory days of the past. So they try to hack Laird, but Laird's a tech mogul, so of course he has defenses, and he makes Aaron and Ned look foolish. But in trying to do this, you know, they see that apparently Ned is in the red as well. Apparently Laird is in the red as well. So not only does Ned have $400,000 in debt, and that means his business is in dire financial straits, but Laird apparently only has, a couple million in equities or something, and that is supposed to mean that he's in dire financial straits. It's all pretty confusing and not really thought out or well executed. That should definitely have been better, but so he thinks this is his aha moment, and he's going to catch Laird in the act of, you know, falsifying.
We're going to back up and talk about that scene. You're like blowing through. See, that's about, I think you like skimmed over one of the worst parts of this movie.
You're right. I did focus on all the best parts because
of which there aren't many, but did you skip over when they're talking about the password?
Probably.
Do you not remember this? Where they're trying to get the password?
Oh, yeah, where Dingle's like, oh, yeah, try Steph's curve.
Stephanie's boobs.
Steph's tight ass.
Stephanie's tight ass. Stephanie's sweet slit. Stephanie's pink canoe. Those are the four I wrote down. Like,
okay.
This is so bad. Like, that doesn't make any sense as, like, a character to guess. Doesn't make any sense for that guy to say to this guy. Like, why would those be the passwords? That doesn't make any sense. And, like, why is this guy trying to... Do one of those work at the end? Is that the one that works at the end? I can't remember.
No, it's something sincere and earnest. Like, I really love Steph. Or Steph's number one guy.
Yes.
Something not inappropriate.
Guessing this is just so stupid. This does
it
seem,
is stupid.
This actually... But it makes more sense for these to be the answer. But I don't know how Dingle would be aware of this. I don't know. Understand any... But, like... This is just, again, it's the cons against humanity thing. It's just, like, listing things that are like, oh, my God, isn't it edgy? He keeps talking about her fucking, you know, pink slit or whatever. It's like, this is dumb. Like, this was written by a child. Like, I really think it was written by a child.
Look, not all elements of the movie are home runs. I told you that. If you need a movie that has no bad jokes, and that is your bar for whether or not it's a good comedy movie, you're going to have a bad time, you know?
I don't think I'm asking for no bad jokes.
That's literally what you're asking.
I think just the bad jokes.
You've pointed out two bad jokes that you're like, this probably shouldn't have made its way into the movie because
that has an extra 21 minutes. I think it could have really used. Oh, I think And the guy's background, I think, is just the girl naked. Which I guess fair enough.
Tasteful.
Yeah. It is sort of like a glamour, like a modeling shoot. It doesn't seem like a selfie sort of thing. It's like, this is the one where he listens to them fuck, right? Oh, listen, maybe Laird just goes down on her, but...
Oh, yeah, he gets trapped under the table?
Yeah, he's like, it's like, why would you stay in this room?
He got trapped in there.
Was he trapped in there? Because he was trying to, like, spy on them.
Yeah, he's trying to hack. Anyway, so then... you know, obviously Laird has some holiday choir in his living room singing, which, you know, Gustav controls at some point.
Like, I really don't think Bryan Cranston does a good job with this. Like, even that scene you're talking about where, like, you know, he's like, I'm glad you asked. Like, I think if you gave him a few more takes, he could do a better job. And again, I'm not Brian Cranston. Like, that is not well executed in this movie. That line is just not well done in this movie.
I'm glad you asked. Not long.
Like, I think I've seen him deliver something with that, like, same inflection, but better in better movies. Like, I think he's given better performances of that same line in other stuff.
Wow.
Harsh. That's so harsh.
Is it harsh?
Who involved in the production of this movie offended you?
James Franco is not an overall good guy. I think that's sort of been a thing. But no one offended... character?
Oh, you think he's a rapist? Did some allegations? Did he get Me Too'd?
I think he got Me Too'd a lot.
Oh, shit. Okay.
But, yeah, I think he he, like, taught a class. And... He was, like, forcing... Because he taught a class at, I think, NYU, and was, like, having the students do weird stuff. I don't know.
Okay, well, I mean, if that's the reason you don't like
the movie, I don't like the reason.
Just like...
That's just a thing.
Oh, I'm glad you admitted that's the reason you don't like this movie.
He's admitted to having sex with students and is in treatment for a sex addiction since 2016.
But he's not in jail, so it was just, like, consensual?
I don't know. I wasn't there. My point is that doesn't bother me. But I just
clearly
think
got you hot and bothered. You know? You were unable to enjoy this movie because of that James Franco.
No, I was unable to enjoy this movie for a lot of reasons. None of them had to do with James Franco's, you know, personal failings. I mean, his acting in this. Honestly, I don't know if he might have been the best actor in this.
Oh, yeah. I don't think this is far off from, like, who James Franco is as a person.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, sexual misconduct, sexual addiction or whatever. That's, like, all he talks about is trying to fucking bang this, like, girl to her parents. And, like, yeah, Dingle's, like, sitting there, like, fucking, you know, doing, like, the fucking tongue thing to this guy as he's, like, listening to them have sex or whatever. It's, like, so weird. Like, everyone in this movie is like, is there something wrong with you people? Like, act like an adult. But yeah, then he gets like counter hacked or something. Doesn't matter. And then I don't know. And then I think they leave. Is this around when they leave?
No. Cause they have to fight still. So yeah, like Ned gets into Laird's bank records, and apparently he doesn't have, enough finances to fund this foundation that Steph is dropping out of college for. So like shit hits the fan, and Steph's like, I'm kind of throwing in the towel on my education because you're supposed to be able to start this foundation, which I thought was a bit, you know, entitled. Didn't appreciate that about Steph's character, especially for someone who's not really a big part of this movie.
I don't understand what the daughter's character is supposed to be.
She's just the catalyst for the movie, as
but
far
like,
as
I'm concerned. But, like, is she a stupid idiot? Like, why is she dropping out of school?
She's supposed to have agency. Like, that's a big point of the movie, is that these two guys, who both really care about Steph, don't think that she's capable of making her own decisions. And in the end, she is someone who got into Stanford and is really smart and, does have agency. So, like,
that comes
around. But
it seems like she doesn't, though. She's, like, dropping out of, out of school for like no reason.
She wants to start this foundation because she's passionate about it and she has the financial means now through her connection with Laird.
Yeah, but it's like,
so she's like, this is her passion. Like, why wouldn't
she
drop out of school?
She's like a freshman.
Like, if you were enrolled in college, like hypothetically, and then you realized you fucking hated it and you didn't want to do it anymore, and you were like, you know, I have no need to get this education because it's not going to bring me anything that I want in my life.
Does she not like it?
And instead I have the ability to just go do more of what I want to do without any real cost to, you know, my life in general. Like, would you not do that?
Yeah, but I don't think that reflects well on you. I don't think people are like, oh, that makes a ton of sense.
Definitely not from like a career perspective and a continuity or education, like
attainment. No, I think people are like, well, you're throwing away an opportunity. But it's weird for her, like, the thing to be like, oh, she used to have agency, she whatever. So she's dropping out of school to start a foundation with her boyfriend's money. It's just like, it would make more sense for her to go to school and then, like, build her own thing.
Why? But she doesn't need school, you know?
No, because she has her boyfriend's money, yeah.
Yeah, what the fuck is the school going to teach her that she can't just learn on the fly on the job?
It's not like she has her own thing that she's built, though. It's not like she started a foundation.
And then she's going to start another one with him, or and he's going like to fund financing it to become larger.
Yeah.
No, it's none of that. This but it is should literally be, starting right? from scratch.
It should be those things. Those are the it things might, it should be.
It might
if you
make
were doing a good job of writing this movie, that's what you would do, right? Or no? Yes or no?
Well, why would you waste any more time developing this non-character? She's just the catalyst for the movie. She's not.
Because she should be a character. She should. It's important to the movie for her to be a character.
It's only important so long as like it creates the catalyst, you know, the prompt for the movie. It sets up the movie. She doesn't need to, you know, she doesn't really need to be fleshed out as a character with her own arc. You know, so long as she has some semblance of an arc, the movie's not about her. It's about Ned and Laird.
Yeah, but it's their conflict over her, and it doesn't make sense for Bryan Cranston to be like, you're throwing away an opportunity, when it seems like that's what she wants to do. If going to college isn't a useful thing for her, then her throwing away an opportunity isn't a thing. His motivation makes no sense.
It's more of a commentary on him than it is on her. Again,
like, he's right, though. That's the thing. It makes him right. Like, she should go to college. She's doing this, like, weird, wacky thing. If she was, like, independently starting a foundation and doing good works already, then you'd be like, okay, like, he needs to learn that she's already sort of an adult, although she's 19 or something. But, like, that would make... But, like, it's weird because he's supposed to be being unreasonable, but he's right. You know?
I disagree.
And she also acts, like, really inappropriate.
I'm super supportive of anyone who wants to either not go to college or realize
no,
at any portion
school,
during their college career to bail on college.
No,
I'm
dropping
super
out of college
of
is bad.
Does that.
You should stay in school.
I don't
it's
think
bad
it's going to give you... It,
even if you
not
have
gonna...
a billionaire boyfriend, you know, and just want to go, like, it makes her just sound like a vapid idiot. Like, this is a character that you would make fun of in a different movie. Because you'd be like, oh, she just like got money from her husband and does like a random charity or whatever. You know, she's never done anything herself. And then she's like, it's like such a thinly written character. Like, you think it doesn't matter. But again, this is an overly long movie. And it doesn't use the time to build this character up in a way that makes sense. Like,
she doesn't need to be built up.
It does. She does, though. Because then the movie doesn't work.
I think it does.
No, their conflict over her would make more sense if she was more of a character. Her not being a character really hurts the conflict.
All the character she needs to be is that she,
because like
you know,
what
is a Midwesterner
no.
that's in Stanford.
I get yeah, she's a Midwesterner. Oh my god, he's a tech model and she's a Midwesterner. What could that? It's kooky.
She's loved by her father, and she sees something in
again,
Blair,
but like. We need that to, is... but her seeming like a stupid idiot means that when she sees something in Laird, like, we're not as, like, it doesn't make as much sense for us to give her, like, him the benefit of the doubt based on that, you know? Because she's so fucking stupid.
I think if she's going to Stanford, we can assume that she's at least not a complete idiot.
No, lots of people get into good schools and then drop out very quickly. And I think you can assume they might be an idiot.
Do you know anyone that fits that mold?
Yeah, tons of people. Oh. Are you?
I mean, how is Stanford's top 10 schools, right? Top 15?
I mean, it depends. What is she studying there?
I don't know how to start a nonprofit. Maybe she learned so much in her first year that she's like, you know what, this is a quality
she's really,
institution.
Those gen ed classes just really fucking knocked it out.
Maybe yeah, she maybe. Had a lot of AP credits before she went to Stanford.
She
would
almost have to, yeah.
Some of those industrious Michiganites, you know, they just, they come in and they're,
I'm
you know, halfway through their
sophomore
year. I'm surprised
she didn't just go to Ann Arbor. You know, also a very good school, but close
I mean,
to home.
It could be reasonable that she's, you know, 75 credits in to her Stanford career, despite only being like a year and a half in to her tenure there. So, you know, yeah, maybe she learned all that she needs to, and she doesn't need that final year or whatever. Final couple years.
Again, this is random speculation. It doesn't seem like she knows anything.
No.
Like, she demonstrates no knowledge in this entire thing.
Yeah, I don't think she has to.
She could be an off-screen character, and it'd be the same movie.
Not far off. Yeah. I don't know that I could refute that. Look, when you make good points, I'm not going to fight them. But whenever you say that this movie's bad and has no fucking elements of humor in it, I got to fight you on that.
It's bad and has no elements of humor. It's just so boring. It's so boring and not fun, and it's not funny, and it's, like, so juvenile.
It's juvenile at times, I'll give you that, yeah.
But, like, it doesn't use that well. Like, if you're going to do that, again, it's, like, made for children who think Cards Against Humanity is funny. It's, like, they just think, like, the swearing and the random, like, being inappropriate around their parents is, like, funny. But it's just, like, it's just cartoon. It's, like, you know, you're just being a jackass to a parent. Like, why are you doing that? Like,
boy, that boils it down. It's, and like, that's unfair.
It's, like, be fucking normal. And he's, like, no, hard pass.
That's unfair. You don't like whenever James Franco delivers the line, fuck you, paper man? Like, I didn't think I'd hear that. It was great.
I don't remember that line. I don't think I think I would have wrote it down if I liked it.
Things I liked. I mean, yeah, you didn't write much. Ned bites James Franco's balls in a fight, and Gustav is like coaching them about how to fight. So yeah, then he does some evasive parkour, falls into moose piss. Scotty gets covered, and he says, "Get these moose balls off my mouth." And James Franco's like, oh shit, he's teabagging you, bro. Which is just more of, you know, the juvenile
humor. The soul plane humor came roaring back. We got Bukkake and teabagging. It's like...
So then they get home, they leave after getting covered in piss. I thought it was weird, whenever he gets home on Christmas morning, all of his coworkers are in his house. Could you imagine if, like, your small company that had 20 or 25 employees, or maybe it only has like 10 or 15 employees, and they all brought their spouses, are just like in your house on Christmas morning. It's like, don't you fucking people have anywhere better to be? Like, go be with your family.
Do you have your own family?
Yeah. It's like, why the fuck are you in my house?
Well, isn't it because he saved the company?
He saved the company by doing the Mayhew deal, which is the Christmas miracle. It's like, how involved is everyone in the company with the finances of the company? Like, I get that maybe Cedric the Entertainer is going to be involved. So maybe if Cedric were there, it might make sense for him to be like, hey, way to go on that, you know, Mayhew deal. But it doesn't make sense to have every single fucking employee at the company in your house on Christmas morning. And then we get a, you know, callback to Kiss, which fuck Kiss. I think that band sucks ass. I think they might have had a couple good songs, but like, you know, if you want to paint your face and be a douche, you know, you can just go fuck yourself. And I don't like them. So the fact that they're in this movie is kind of upsetting to me. I think having them be sort of like a reference in the movie Role Models is much better done.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're the band that they use in Role Models, too.
Yeah, so it's just like, it's fine to have characters that are fans of Kiss in that way, because it then becomes like a way for you to bond later on in the movie. But this is actually getting Gene Simmons and I don't know that other useless cunt.
Paul Stanley, I think.
Yeah, like fuck those guys. And they're actually in this movie, and I think that took it too far. But anyway, yeah. So then it's I don't know. That's about it. I mean, all's well that ends well. You know, Laird proposes, but Steph finally has agency, or we realize that Steph has agency, and she's like, just because you guys are fighting over whether or not Laird should propose doesn't mean I'm actually going to say yes. You know, it's not your choice, it's mine. So that's good. And then, at the end, you know, Laird pulls out all the stops to try to propose to Steph, but doesn't do so without proposing to Ned. Ned finally gives Laird his blessing after realizing that, you know, he's actually a good person at heart, and he means well. He's just a bit rough around the edges. You know how those crazy tech moguls can get.
Yeah, he's rough around the edges. He's a rough around the edges tech mogul, and he's a conservative Midwesterner. What, like, where are we reading this off of? This movie sucks. This movie's awful. None of it's funny. It's too long. The characters are poorly done. The performances are bad. The writing's bad. It's a really bad movie. Keegan-Michael Key's Indian for some reason. Just like a really like poorly thought out movie.
That's tough. I thought this movie was a lot of fun. I think some of the acting was better than some of the other acting. I think some of the jokes fell flat, but a lot of it was amusing. Had a lot of funny moments. Yeah, and I would totally recommend that somebody watch this movie. I think it's a good Christmas movie. And definitely putting this in the uncle category for me.
You've got like the big thing at the end is that they decide to make bidets, the toilets or whatever, in America, bring the bidets to the American market. Which again, I think is why this movie seems older, because that would have been like a more, you know, revolutionary business idea 20 years ago instead of 10 years ago. You know?
Yeah. I guess in comparison to the other rom-coms we've watched, you know, there most of those were just dog shit. Like, there was very little amusing going on in them.
Well, this isn't a rom-com.
And he didn't care about it, but it is.
It's not, though, because there's no romance, like, in it.
Yeah, I mean, it's not as good as it gets, you know?
No, but, like, the woman isn't in it at all.
Yeah. It's inspired romantically. You know? It's a father being protective of his daughter, and it's the unorthodox lover.
This was produced
lover.
By the guy who made Free Guy, did you know that?
I did not know that.
Another movie. But that one also had a tech mogul, whatever. Yeah, who the fuck knew? Yeah, no, this wasn't good. Real first draft of a movie. you know, I don't understand what they were thinking. It's crazy how long it is for how bad it is. Everyone gives a bad performance. Like, they've all been better in other things. Even the supporting characters, like, you have Adam Devine come in and, like, talk about Bukkake for a minute. And Casey Wilson and Andrew Reynolds, both funny. Like, their lines in this weren't good.
Just because it's no one's like peak performance doesn't mean that the movie on a whole is the worst.
Oh, okay. So,
you know, do you need to win Best Actor to win Best Picture?
No.
Like,
the fact that they managed to get bad performances out of all actors who have done good in other things means that, like, it wasn't like they were playing with bad materials here. They just, like, failed to realize anything out of this premise or these actors. Or whatever. It's like wild. They just got nothing out of this.
Yikes. Well, you know? I'm sorry you didn't like it, you know.
It turned wine into water here. It was just so bad. It was so bad. Like, Bryan Cranston is just not good in this. And, like, I don't know, James Franco is, like, doing James Franco shit, and he might be operating near the top of his game. But, like, oh my god, the fucking brother character is so annoying. The girl's not in it, which is weird.
Oh, I don't think
the mother's not doing anything. Keegan-Michael Key is, again, offensively Indian for some reason.
Like, he's definitely better in Key and Peele than he is in this movie, but I don't know that he's in many other movies. So
he's in a lot of movies. He's in a lot of stuff.
What's his best movie, would you say?
I don't know what his best movie is, but I think he's, like, on average pretty funny.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think he was funny in this.
And he's not funny in this?
God damn it.
He's, like, pretty bad in this.
You're just a hater. You're digging your heels in, you know, and that's
fine.
I'm sorry that you didn't enjoy this movie.
He's in Role Models. I didn't realize that. But, yeah, I thought everything about this movie was really, really bad.
Is this movie as good as Role Models? No. Is it as good as 40-year-old Virgin? No. Is it a good movie? Yes.
No, it's not even, no, it's not even close to a good movie.
God damn it. Is it better than anybody but you? Fuck yeah.
No.
Is it better than...
No,
oh,
it's not.
God.
It's not
what
even as a comedy.
Hold on, let me look
not,
at these
it's
fucking...
It's not better than No Hard Feelings, the movie we just talked about.
I think it's better than No Hard Feelings.
No, it's not even close
it's
to...
It's much better than No Hard
Feelings.
Because
that had redeeming features. That you could at least watch a scene and be like, oh, this scene's pretty good.
It had two good scenes. That doesn't carry the whole movie.
It actually
this
had
movie
a bunch
have...
of scenes. This movie had zero good scenes, which
this
I think
movie
is
didn't
important.
Have Zoe Deutsch naked at any point, you know, suplexing people on the beach, and it didn't.
It
have...
should have. Maybe it should have. For how like overtly sexual it was, maybe it should have.
But she's a Midwesterner, you know. She's not from. You know,
there's a picture
I think
of her naked on his desktop.
if James Franco were walking around nude, I think that would be fitting for this movie.
They should have done that then.
They should have done that.
He should have suplexed some kids on the beach.
He could have, and it would have been totally appropriate for this movie.
It would have made more sense. Why did he never do a thing that endeared him to the father in like a real way? You know? Like, it feels like at that party, it feels like they could have had him, like, but again, it's a badly written character, because the character has to be so fucking pants on head stupid that he doesn't have any, like, social acumen. But it feels like he should have defended Bryan Cranston from the other guys who were making fun of him, you know? But he was just like, oh, I was trying to protect you by not telling you what bukkake meant or whatever, like, but, like, had he, like, jumped in there, you know, that could have been a turning. Because, again, the part where he asked the girl why him should have been, like, 20 minutes earlier. So had they shifted that around, and then an hour into the movie when they're having this party, made it so the guy does, like, something endearing, you know? But the guy, like, never wins him over. Like, what would the guy have done to win? He wins him over in, like, what, the last 3 minutes? Makes no fucking sense. You know?
No, I mean, it needs to be, his breaking point needs to be whenever Ned, you know, conclusively says, I don't think this guy's right, you know, because he's trying to be open-minded, you know, he's willing to travel across the country to spend Christmas in Southern California, you know, he's trying to make it work. He's just, you know, trying to be supportive of his daughter, whom he loves, you know, whom Laird also loves. I think it's better than The Layover. It's better than Life Partners.
No.
It's better than When We First Met.
No. Nope.
It's literally the best rom-com we've watched.
It's literally worse than all those movies. It's not a rom-com. That's right. No. What they should have done was, they should have had him start hacking the guy earlier and then warm up to him in the middle and then find out he lied about the stuff and get mad because now he feels betrayed. That's how you do this. You know? But instead what they did was make a bad movie. Yeah, this is really bad. This is stupid. It's definitely an F you. It's way worse than the other movie we just watched. You know? The jokes don't work. The premise is stupid. The premise is fine. It's just him meeting the parents. But the execution is just so bafflingly poor that it's unbelievable that like multiple people looked at this movie and was like, this is reasonable. you know, again, I think it's like it was maybe released 10 years after it was supposed to be.
You think it missed its window?
It's just like the jokes should have been updated to like be more like modern. There's, again, like it just feels like we've seen iterations on these same jokes and they're making references that are like way too old. Like, I don't know. I really, the bidet thing like got me. Like, they're not that like zany in 2016. You know?
When's the last time you came across a bidet?
I mean, I had one in my kitchen for a long time.
And you just never got it installed?
No, I gave it to someone else. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, bidets are pretty common at this point, so.
Yeah. All right, well, I think that might be all I got.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, bad movie. Don't watch. Don't recommend.
All right, good movie, Uncle. Watch. Would recommend.
Okay, well, you know, we can't get one of all, I guess.
All righty.